Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
There's something about being out in the middle of nowhere with your friends that makes you feel invincible. It's like the world shrinks down to just the few of you. A small, self-contained bubble of laughter and camaraderie. That's how we felt when we decided to go camping that weekend. Just four friends, a couple of tents, and the open wilderness. We had no idea that something, or rather, someone, would shatter that bubble and leave us questioning everything we thought we knew about safety in the wild. The idea was simple. Drive out to a remote campground, set up camp, and spend a few days hiking, fishing, and forgetting about the stresses of everyday life. No phones, no internet, just us and nature. On the day of the trip, the sky was a perfect blue. The road winding through forests and past glistening lakes. We played music, sang along, and laughed at stupid jokes. Just the kind of carefree road trip you'd expect when you're with your closest friends. We reached the campsite in the late afternoon. It was more remote than we'd anticipated, tucked away in a valley. There were no other campers in sight, just an empty ranger station at the entrance and a few worn-out signs marking the trails. The isolation didn't bother us. In fact, we welcomed it. It was exactly what we were looking for, a place to disconnect. We set up our tents in a clearing near the edge of the forest, close to a small stream that provided a constant, soothing background noise. The sun was beginning to set, and the air was filled with the scent of pine and damp earth. It was perfect. After setting up camp, we gathered around a fire pit that Ethan, our resident camping enthusiast, had quickly put together. We roasted hot dogs, shared stories, and let the peace of the wilderness wash over us. As the night fell and the stars came out, we felt like we were the only people in the world. It was exactly the kind of escape we had all needed. But that sense of peace didn't last long. It was around 9 p.m. when we first saw him. We were deep into a conversation about some dumb thing that had happened back on campus when Ethan suddenly stopped talking, his eyes fixed on something beyond the firelight. His face, which had been animated with laughter just moments before, now held a look of confusion. "What is it?" I asked, turning to follow his gaze. Standing just at the edge of the clearing, half hidden in the shadows of the trees, was a man. He was tall and thin, dressed in what looked like a heavy jacket and jeans, even though the weather was mild. His hair was long and unkempt, and his face was partially obscured by the darkness, but I could see the glint of his eyes reflecting the firelight. He didn't say anything. He just stood there, watching us. For a moment, none of us spoke. The sight of him was so unexpected, so out of place, that it took a second for my brain to catch up with what I was seeing. We were miles away from the nearest town, and the campground was deserted. There was no reason for anyone else to be out here. "Hello?" Ethan called out, his voice cautious. The man didn't respond. He just stood there, staring at us with an intensity that made my skin crawl. There was something off about him, something that set off alarm bells in my mind, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. "Can we help you?" Avery, always the polite one, asked, though I could hear the nervousness in her voice. Finally, after what felt like an eternity, the man stepped forward into the light. His face came into view, and I felt a jolt of unease. He looked older than I had first thought, his skin pale and drawn, with deep lines etched into his features. His eyes were hollow, almost lifeless, and his lips were curled into a faint, unsettling smile. "No need to worry," he said, his voice low and gravelly. "Just passing through." Passing through? It didn't make any sense. There was nothing to pass through to. This place was remote, isolated, and there was no reason for anyone to be out here unless they had a specific destination in mind. "Are you camping nearby?" Ethan asked, trying to sound casual, but I could see the tension in his posture. The man's smile widened, but it didn't reach his eyes. "Just enjoying the night," he replied, his gaze shifting from Ethan to the rest of us. "It's peaceful out here, isn't it?" None of us knew what to say. There was something about him that made my stomach twist with unease, but I didn't want to be rude. After all, he hadn't done anything wrong. He was just a stranger, probably out for a walk, like he said. But the way he was looking at us, like he was sizing us up, made me feel like we were prey. "Well, we're just having a quiet night ourselves," Ethan said, clearly trying to steer the conversation to a close. "We'll let you get back to your walk." The man nodded, that same unsettling smile still on his face. "Of course, you folks have a good night." With that, he turned and walked back into the woods, disappearing into the shadows as quickly as he had appeared. We watched him go, the firelight flickering on our faces, none of us speaking until we were sure he was gone. "That was weird," Thomas said, breaking the silence. "Weird? That was straight up creepy," Avery replied, her voice trembling slightly. "Maybe he's just a local," Ethan offered, though he didn't sound convinced. "Some people like to camp alone." "Maybe," I agreed, though I couldn't shake the feeling that something was very wrong. The mood had shifted. The sense of peace we'd felt earlier was gone, replaced by a lingering tension that none of us could ignore. We tried to go back to our conversation, to pretend that the encounter hadn't rattled us, but it was no use. The stranger's presence hung over us like a dark cloud.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
And every crack of a branch, every rustle of leaves in the wind made us jump. Finally, we decided to call it a night. We doused the fire, packed away the food, and retreated to our tents, each of us casting uneasy glances toward the dark woods as we zipped ourselves in. I tried to tell myself that everything was fine, that the man was just some eccentric who liked to wander around the woods at night. But as I lay there in my sleeping bag, staring up at the fabric ceiling of the tent, I couldn't shake the image of his eyes, cold, hollow, and completely devoid of any warmth or humanity. I didn't sleep well that night. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw his face, that unsettling smile, and the way he had looked at us like he knew something we didn't. And deep down, I knew this wasn't the last we'd see of him. The next morning, over breakfast, we made jokes about the creepy woodsman, and tried to convince ourselves that we had overreacted. But the truth was, none of us could forget how uneasy he had made us feel. We spent the day hiking and exploring the area, doing our best to enjoy the beautiful surroundings. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, and for a while, it was easy to forget about the strange man we had met the night before. But as the day wore on and the shadows began to lengthen, that feeling of unease started to creep back in. We returned to the campsite in the late afternoon, tired, but in good spirits. Ethan and Thomas set about gathering firewood while Avery and I prepared dinner. It was shaping up to be another pleasant evening, until we noticed something strange. The first sign that something was off came when Ethan went to fetch the lantern from his tent and found that it wasn't where he'd left it. He searched the tent from top to bottom, but it was gone. "Are you sure you didn't leave it somewhere else?" I asked, trying to keep my voice steady. "I'm positive," he replied, his brow furrowed. "I left it right here, next to my sleeping bag." We all searched the campsite, but the lantern was nowhere to be found. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't the kind of thing you could easily lose, and none of us had moved it. But we tried to brush it off as one of those things that just happen when you're camping, even though the uneasy feeling in my gut told me otherwise. As the sun began to set, we lit the fire and gathered around it, trying to ignore the growing darkness around us. But the atmosphere had changed again, the easygoing camaraderie replaced by a tense silence. And then, as the last light of day faded, we heard it, a rustling in the bushes just beyond the clearing. We all froze, our eyes darting toward the sound. It was subtle, just the faintest noise, like something moving through the underbrush. But in the stillness of the night, it was impossible to miss. Ethan grabbed the flashlight and shone it toward the trees, the beam cutting through the darkness. "Hello?" he called out, his voice shaky. There was no response, just the sound of the wind rustling the leaves. But as the flashlight's beam moved across the trees, I saw something that made my blood run cold. A face, half hidden behind a tree, watching us. It was the man from the night before. He was standing just beyond the edge of the clearing, his pale face barely visible in the shadows. He didn't move, didn't make a sound, just watched us with those same cold, hollow eyes. "Did you see that?" I whispered, my heart racing. Ethan nodded, his grip tightening on the flashlight. "Yeah, I saw him. What is he doing?" Avery asked, her voice trembling. "I don't know," Thomas replied, his voice tight with fear, "but I don't like it." We all stood there, frozen, unsure of what to do. The man didn't move, didn't come any closer. He just stood there, watching us, like he was waiting for something. Finally, Ethan spoke up, his voice firm. "We need to get out of here." We didn't argue. We quickly packed up what we could, our movements frantic and disjointed as we kept glancing toward the trees. The man was still there, still watching, but he didn't make any move to stop us. We piled into the car, the fear thick in the air, and sped out of the campsite, leaving the man and the forest behind. We didn't stop driving until we were well out of the mountains, the lights of the nearest town coming into view. The tension in the car was palpable, none of us daring to speak until we were sure we were far enough away. "What the hell was that?" Avery finally asked, her voice shaking. "I don't know," Ethan replied, his hands gripping the steering wheel tightly, "but I didn't want to stick around to find out." "Do you think he was following us?" Thomas asked, his voice tinged with fear. I shook my head, trying to make sense of what had happened. "I don't know, but there was something about him, something that wasn't right." We all fell silent again, each of us lost in our own thoughts. The encounter with the stranger had shaken us to our core, and the questions it raised were too many to count. Who was he? Why was he out there in the middle of nowhere, and what did he want from us? We never found out. We never went back to that campsite, and we never spoke of the encounter again. But the memory of that man, his cold, hollow eyes, his unsettling smile, still haunts me to this day. There's one thing I'm sure of. I'll never go camping in a remote area again. I was looking forward to this camping trip, a chance to escape the noise of the city and spend some quality time together as a family. It was supposed to be a simple getaway, just me, my wife, and our two kids, out in nature, away from the stress of everyday life. We found a campground that was supposed to be quiet and peaceful, tucked away in a national park, with a beautiful river running nearby. It seemed like the perfect spot. The drive out was exactly as we expected, the kids chattering excitedly in the back seat as we wound our way through the mountains. The trees towered above us, their leaves casting dappled shadows on the road, and the air was crisp and cool, a welcome change from the stifling heat of the city. We arrived in the late afternoon, the sun just beginning to dip toward the horizon. The campground was even better than we'd hoped, spacious, with plenty of room for the kids to run around, and only a few other campers scattered about, far enough away that it felt like we had the place to ourselves. We picked a spot near the edge of the woods, close enough to the river that we could hear the gentle rush of water in the distance. My wife and I pitched the tent while the kids explored the area, their laughter echoing through the trees. The sun dipped lower, painting the sky in hues of pink and orange, and the smell of pine filled the air. It was idyllic, the kind of evening that makes you feel like everything is right with the world. As night fell, we gathered around the campfire, roasting marshmallows and telling stories. The kids were all smiles, their faces glowing in the firelight, and I remember feeling a deep sense of contentment. This was what life was all about, these simple moments surrounded by the people you love. But as the fire died down and the stars began to peek through the canopy of trees, I couldn't shake a strange feeling. Just a slight unease that crept up on me as I stared into the flickering flames. I tried to brush it off, telling myself it was nothing, just the usual jitters that come with being out in the middle of nowhere. But that feeling of unease wouldn't go away. The kids were exhausted from a day of running around, so we tucked them into their sleeping bags in the tent and zipped it up tight. My wife and I stayed by the fire for a while longer, enjoying the quiet, the crackle of the last embers, the rustling of the wind through the trees. The world felt peaceful, almost dreamlike. But then, out of nowhere, I heard it, a sound that didn't belong. It was faint at first, almost indistinguishable from the natural noises of the forest, but it grew louder as I strained to listen. Footsteps, slow, deliberate, crunching softly on the gravel path that wound through the campground. I glanced at my wife, but she seemed lost in thought, staring into the dying fire. I didn't want to alarm her, so I kept quiet, telling myself it was probably just another camper returning to their tent. But the footsteps didn't stop. They grew closer, heavier, as if whoever it was taking their time, moving with purpose. The hair on the back of my neck stood on end, and I found myself glancing over my shoulder, scanning the darkness beyond the firelight. But I couldn't see anything. Just the trees, the shadows, the faint outline of the tent where our kids were sleeping. And then the footsteps stopped. The silence that followed was thick, oppressive. My heart pounded in my chest, every instinct screaming that something was wrong. I felt exposed, vulnerable, sitting there in the dark with only the remnants of the fire between us and whoever or whatever was out there. I opened my mouth to say something, to suggest that we go into the tent, but before I could, I heard it again. This time, it wasn't footsteps. It was the sound of fabric rustling, like someone was brushing against the side of the tent. I froze, my blood turning to ice. The tent was just a few feet away, the faint outline of it visible in the dim light. But the sound was unmistakable. Someone was outside our tent, moving around it, maybe even touching it. My wife must have sensed my tension because she looked up at me, her eyes wide with concern. "What is it?" she whispered. I shook my head, not wanting to frighten her, but the fear in her eyes told me she already knew something was wrong. "I think there's someone out there," I whispered back, my voice barely audible. She didn't say anything, just nodded, her hand reaching for mine. We both sat there, listening, our ears straining to catch any sound, but the forest had gone silent again, the only noise the soft rustle of leaves in the breeze. For a long moment, we stayed like that, our breaths shallow, our hearts pounding. But when nothing happened, when the footsteps didn't return, I began to relax, telling myself that it was just my imagination. "Maybe it was an animal," my wife suggested, her voice trembling slightly. "Yeah," I agreed, though I didn't believe it. "Probably just a raccoon or something." But the unease lingered, gnawing at the back of my mind. We decided to call it a night, dousing the fire and retreating to the safety of the tent. The kids were sound asleep, their breathing soft and steady, oblivious to the tension in the air. We crawled into our sleeping bags, zipping them up tight, the thin fabric the only barrier between us and the darkness outside. I lay there for what felt like hours, staring up at the ceiling of the tent, listening to the sounds of the forest. Every rustle of leaves, every creak of a branch, sent a jolt of fear through me, my mind conjuring images of shadows lurking just outside, waiting for the right moment to strike. But eventually, exhaustion took over, and I drifted into a fitful sleep. I woke up to the sound of the zipper on the tent being pulled open. For a moment, I was disoriented, my mind struggling to process what was happening. The tent was dark, the only light coming from the moon filtering through the trees. But the sound of that zipper, slow, deliberate, sent a bolt of terror through me. I shot up, my heart pounding in my chest, my eyes wide as I scanned the tent. My wife was already awake, her face pale in the moonlight, her eyes wide with fear. The kids were still asleep, oblivious to the danger. The zipper stopped halfway, leaving the tent partially open, and I could feel the cool night air seeping in. But there was no movement, no sound from outside. I reached for the flashlight, my hands trembling as I flicked it on. The beam cut through the darkness, illuminating the inside of the tent, but I couldn't bring myself to point it toward the opening. What if there was someone or something standing there? I took a deep breath, trying to steady my nerves. "Stay here," I whispered to my wife, my voice shaking. She nodded, her hand gripping mine tightly, her eyes pleading with me not to go. But I couldn't just sit there, waiting for whatever was outside to make the next move. I slowly turned the flashlight toward the opening, my heart pounding so loudly I was sure it would wake the kids. The light cut through the darkness, revealing the partially open flap of the tent. But there was nothing there, just the empty darkness beyond. I let out a shaky breath, my shoulders sagging with relief. Maybe it really was just an animal, something small that had been curious and decided to investigate. I was about to close the tent and go back to bed when I heard it, a whisper, soft, barely audible, but definitely human. "Let me in." My blood turned to ice. The voice was low, raspy, and filled with a quiet menace that made my skin crawl. I turned the flashlight back toward the opening, my hands trembling so badly I could barely hold it steady. But there was still nothing there. I didn't move, didn't breathe, my eyes locked on the darkness beyond the tent. The whisper came again, closer this time, so close it felt like it was right in my ear. "Let me in." I could feel my wife's grip on my arm tighten, her nails digging into my skin. She was as terrified as I was, maybe more so. But we didn't dare make a sound, didn't dare move. And then, without warning, the tent shook violently, as if someone or something had slammed into it from the outside. The kids woke up with a start, their cries filling the tent as they scrambled out of their sleeping bags, wide-eyed with fear. My wife tried to calm them, her voice trembling as she reassured them that everything was okay. But we both knew it wasn't. The tent shook again, the fabric straining against the force, and I could hear the sound of heavy breathing, low and guttural, just outside. "Stay here," I whispered again, my voice shaking as I grabbed the camping knife from my pack. "I'm gonna see what it is." "No," my wife pleaded, her eyes wide with fear. "Don't go out there." But I didn't have a choice. I had to protect my family, had to find out what was threatening us. I took a deep breath, steeling myself for whatever was waiting outside, and slowly unzipped the tent the rest of the way. The cold night air hit me like a slap in the face, and I stepped out, the flashlight beam illuminating the campground. The forest was silent, the only sound the rapid pounding of my heart in my ears. I scanned the area, the light bouncing off the trees, the shadows twisting and turning in the beam, but there was nothing, no movement, no sign of anyone or anything that could have been responsible for the attack on the tent. And then, just as I was about to turn back, I heard it again, the whisper coming from the trees. "Let me in." My heart raced as I pointed the flashlight toward the sound, but there was nothing there, just the dense underbrush, the tall pines, and the impenetrable darkness beyond. But I could feel it, the presence of something lurking just out of sight, watching me. I backed away slowly, my hands shaking, and ducked back into the tent, zipping it up as quickly as I could. My wife and kids were huddled together, their faces pale with fear, and I could see the terror in their eyes. "We're leaving," I whispered, my voice firm. "Now." We didn't waste any time. We packed up the tent and our gear as quickly as we could, our movements frantic and desperate. The kids were too scared to cry, their wide eyes fixed on us as we worked, their small bodies trembling with fear. The entire time, I could feel the presence of whatever had been outside, lingering in the darkness, watching us. But it didn't make another move, didn't make a sound, as if it was waiting for the right moment to strike. We finished packing, and I grabbed the keys to the car, my hands shaking so badly I could barely hold them. We piled into the car, my wife holding the kids close, her eyes scanning the darkness outside the windows. I started the engine, the headlights cutting through the night, and we sped out of the campground, the tires kicking up gravel as we went. The road wound through the trees, the forest closing in around us, but I didn't dare slow down. My heart pounded in my chest, my mind racing with what had just happened. The voice, the shaking tent, the sense of being watched, it all felt like a nightmare, something too terrifying to be real. But it was real. It had happened, and we had barely escaped. We drove for hours, not stopping until we were miles away from that place. We finally pulled into a rest stop, the kids falling asleep in the back seat, exhausted from the night's ordeal. My wife and I sat in the car, the silence between us heavy with the unspoken terror of what we had experienced. "What was it?" she finally asked, her voice barely above a whisper. I shook my head, unable to answer. I didn't know. I still don't. But I do know that something was out there, something that didn't belong, something that wanted to get inside. And I know that we were lucky to get away. I don't know what would have happened if I had let it in, and I hope I never find out.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.